it is time to take more dramatic measures. So I regret to have to announce that as of tomorrow, our public schools will be closed.
It's a big deal, Sienna and Raven.
Sure.
New York City schools closed until April 20th as of now. So when, you know, Nassau, Suffolk, all the schools are closed. Fairfield right. County, all of Connecticut,
minimum
schools are closed.
Till mid-April.
Well, no, that's just in Manhattan. So in New York City, because I know on the island and in Connecticut, right now we have that date as March 30th, March 31st. So I'm sure.
You think it's going to hold? I think it's going to be extended.
I think you got to see what happens.
Given
I
that
think
everything
a day
else.
Day-to-day thing.
Restaurants now at this point, public gatherings, now that everything else is being extended. The CDC yesterday said any gathering over 50 people, you should hold off for at least the next 8 weeks.
Right. It's crazy. Mm. It's so crazy to think that this is real, this is legit, and this is happening now. Now, in New York City, they made the announcement that all restaurants and bars can only do takeout and delivery. You can't go there and eat there anymore.
Massachusetts is the same. They did that last night.
And I have a feeling that we're probably going to hear that for, much more of the counties throughout Westchester, Nassau, Suffolk, Fairfield, New Haven, all of them.
You know what blew my mind was to see the mayor talk about the fact that he thinks the federal government needs to step in right now and handle the supply chain of different medical supplies and things like the sanitizer and stuff like that, which I never thought I would hear him say they needed to handle the supply of anything whatsoever.
Mm.
And it just goes to tell you, that you need certain organizations that are built for the delivery of these systems and the handling of these systems at this point, because regular supply and demand sometimes those things are getting caught up somewhere in the chain of events that it takes from something to get from where it's manufactured to you.
Right. My dad is a restaurant owner. That's, I'm a restaurant kid. That's what I grew up in. And last night, before this announcement came out, he said, I feel like I need to tell somebody how detrimental this is going to be to local businesses. He's like, I think I'm going to call the mayor. And I said, Daddy, we got to do what we got to do. He goes, but do you know how many people are going to lose their jobs?
Yeah.
And it's such a scary moment in our time, a defining moment in our lifetime.
Sure.
My fingers are crossed that this is all over very quickly. But, man, kids out of school. I said to Hayden, my daughter, she's in fifth grade. I said, don't forget when you wake up tomorrow, you got to turn your computer on. You got to get to work. And she goes, I'm in no rush. And I was like, oh, gosh, I can't deal with this for the next 2 weeks. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Does anybody actually feel bad for this guy? He tries to make his point. It's Anna and Raven. His name is Matt Colvin. He's in Tennessee. And he went state to state to buy all the hand sanitizers after the first death was reported of the coronavirus.
Something like 17,000 he's sitting on right now.
18,000 bottles of hand sanitizer.
A lot of hand sanitizer.
Where'd he get it? Here he is.
The bulk of it was purchased with just driving around to retail stores in the Chattanooga area.
Uh-huh. Just went around. And he has a shirt on. And the shirt says, Family Man, Family Business. Because he's defending the fact that he did this. Here's the problem.
Sure.
Amazon shut him down.
Right.
And he wouldn't admit in an interview how much he was charging, but the New York Times reported he was charging to $70 for hand sanitizer, and people were buying it because they were scared. They're panic buying.
Right. And he said that the profits were substantial at that point. Right.
Until they shut him down.
Right,
of course. So now they shut him down.
Nowhere to sell it.
Yeah. And he's standing in front of this stockpile in his garage, and he's like, he wants you to feel bad for him because he's like, what am I going to do with all this hand sanitizer?
Well, it will expire. Ideas. Right.
Well, yeah. Give it away.
It's really, well, that's probably what he's going to do at this point. I mean, there's no good look that comes out of this.
Did you keep the receipt? Return it.
Well, here's the thing, though. Listen, to think that this guy is the only guy that's moving around margins and so forth when something like this is going on is crazy. Lysol and Purell are not giving away their money, and they're taking in plenty of profits. There's a saying, right? In all business, right? Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. And that's what happened. He turned into a hog.
You know the weirdest saying.
He got too greedy. If he had charged, listen, if you, given the fact of what you're looking at right now, trying to get your hands on hand sanitizer or cleaning products
doesn't
or whatever,
exist. Right.
You would be happy to pay $3, $4 extra. You wouldn't have a problem with it. I mean, if you walk into a gas station right now, you'll see it for $30, and nobody's shutting down them right now because the government just has too many things to do.
Mm.
They'll pay the price when it's over, possibly, but right now they're taking advantage, too. You would pay gladly $3 or $4 convenience fee. We do that for shipping every day.
Yeah, but
when you start talking about a $70 buy. bottle of hand sanitizer. Now you're taking advantage of people.
18,000 bottles of hand sanitizer he bought.
I think it's okay for him to make a profit, but again, you got to be it's got to be a realistic profit.
I think there's different times call for different measures, and when there's a pandemic and everybody is freaking out and it's a deal with health, that's different. And the worst part is he was asked if he was sorry for buying all of it.
Sure.
And this is what he said.
Sorry for buying all of this. No, I don't think that I would.
Oh, yeah.
I see the opportunity of a business person. And in Chattanooga, Tennessee, they might be a lot of places around like they were here in the area that this is a joke and this isn't going to get that big. What started off as a decent business idea, again, when you went over $3-4 extra a bottle, bro, that's when you really dug your hole.
I think the bigger question is did he think people were going to feel bad? Did he really believe that people are going to be like, yes, you're right, I will buy your $70 hand sanitizer?
Yeah,
no.
He's trying to spin something out of it now.
Yeah,
he kind of looks like the Sham Wow guy. Yeah, I mean, he might have a future in some sort of infomercials, but
if you want to check out the video of him and judge for yourself whether you feel sorry, you can head to our Facebook page, search Anna and Raven. You know, I have a lot of family in Italy.
Sure.
So I've been monitoring like what they're doing. The whole country of Italy is on lockdown, and this weekend was detrimental is saying it very gently.
It's going level up each time, yeah, almost every day here. But they've kind of become an inspiration to those of us that are also looking at how to handle these things.
Right. It's Anna and Raven. So I'm watching my cousins, and they're posting pictures of, like, the kids are drawing pictures of hope, and they're posting them on Facebook. And,
sure.
And they're doing things together. They're cooking together. Mm-hmm. I have pictures of my cousin teaching the little ones how to make the pasta.
There's a lot of singing going on.
But this went viral over the weekend because a lot of the apartment buildings there, they all have balconies.
Sure.
Right, but everybody went out on the balconies, and there was a flash mob, and it sounded a lot like this.
Viva la nostra cena. Viva la nostra.
There's a couple real voices in there.
Right. I feel like a lot of Italians can sing.
There's a couple good voices in there.
And you just hear the dogs barking in the background. What's happening?
Right.
And they were singing everything from, like, Italian classic, like, Volare, to, like, the
national anthem. I saw a guy
do
a DJ set last night. I watched that for a good 15, 20 minutes. I was like, you know what? And immediately my wife was like, that's how we're going to handle this.
Right.
If they shut down our neighborhood, you're putting the speakers in the windows. I was like, all right.
Well, it's true. It's like the one thing it's done is it has really made the communities come together. So
sure.
You see them all out on the balconies, and they're talking to each other. They're all social distancing. They're surely, you know, more than 6 feet away from each other.
Well, thankfully, the balconies are not built right next to each other.
Right. And they're having some fun with it, because the truth of the matter is when you're on lockdown for that much, and I think as Americans, that's what we're worried about. I know that there's some towns that are seriously considering this now.
Yeah.
And it's like, what do you do?
I talked with a couple police officer friends over the weekend, and they said, you know, at times like these, you really see the best and worst of people.
Yes.
She's like, one of my friends said, you know, how many times I had to show up to an altercation right now between people, and I just walked up and said, listen, really? We're going to do this with everything else that's going on here. If either of you can't calm down, you're just both coming with me. Is that how we want to handle today? And people, for the most part, she said, would back off or apologize even at that point.
Right.
But you need to just give yourself a moment and give the person in front of you a moment, because things are definitely intense right now.
More than 100 million people in Europe are living under lockdown right now. And I think here in America, we've been kind of that stress about it, because what if that's what's coming next?
Sure.
What if we can't leave our house?
Well, we're not used to people telling us that here in this country. We've never seen anything like that in our lifetime for the most part, right?
Right. So my cousins, they're all in Italy. Like, I have a lot of uncles and aunts and cousins in Italy. And, you know, I reached out to one of our good family friends who actually spoke English, because I wanted to ask him, what is it like? What is it like to be on lockdown?
Right.
So, Matteo, where are you in Italy?
In Bari, Gravina, Bari.
And what's it like over there? You guys are on lockdown, so you got to stay in your house all the time, right?
Well, we can go out just to go shopping or go to a doctor, pharmacy, and that's it. I think it's going to be like that for at least another 3 weeks.
And what's been, like, the news saying? What's been going on? And what does everybody feel like when this is happening?
They didn't do what they're supposed to do at the right time, and this is what happened. Up north, it's really bad. A lot of people die, and there's a lot of contagion. Down south, it's limited.
And what are you doing all day, being in the house?
I think just watching TV. I go outside, work in my garden, clean up around the house. At least I can go out. Some people, they live in the buildings. I don't know how they're doing.
I saw a bunch of videos of them out on the balconies, and they're all singing. Anybody out there singing at your house?
No, actually, I put the radio on.
And what is the government saying about how long you're going to be like this? Or they're not really saying anything?
Well, they assumed at least another 2-3 weeks for us to start to get out.
Have you heard about people going to the hospital and they can't get anyone to take care of them?
Well, they're opening up the old hospitals. They closed down in the past, so they're making more room.
Well, that's good that it's still up north and it's not really spreading to the south. It's probably because you guys are all quarantined. That's what they're doing to stop it.
Well, the train, they're not moving. The bus, they're not going anywhere.
All right, well, we hope that everything is back to normal soon.
I hope so.
One of the things that Matteo told me, and he's in Gravina, which is like the heel of Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he told me was really interesting after I finished recording him, he goes, oh, I got my form because I'm going to go shopping tomorrow. And I go, your
right.
form? What's your form? And you have to have a form signed and approved to go places. Otherwise, they'll stop you. The police will stop you
yeah,
and arrest
you
on the roads.
Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting that he said in there that they didn't move fast enough up north and they didn't do what they needed to do at that point. Because again, like here in the United States, I think that people, they couldn't grasp how big it could be, and they wanted to try and look out for the economy there and so forth, and just like anywhere else. And so, you know, you say to yourself, are we being paranoid right now here in this country, or are we just trying to catch up now and get in front of this thing before it gets really bad? Also, why were you talking to him in a bathroom? You sound like you're talking to him in a bathroom.
Well, first of all, with the time difference, the best I could do was, it was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so I have my dad with
sounds like an evil space robot right. in your bathroom.
Well,
for some reason.
You try to figure out how
it
to record
very
Italy
friendly,
in the middle of the day.
Wow.
How do you talk to the kids about coronavirus, especially when you yourself don't know? It's Anna and Raven. It's Dr. Joe Shippa. He's a psychologist in Briarcliff, New York.
How you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing
we're
okay.
Good, thank you.
You know, we got a lot of questions. And I think one of the big ones is how do you talk to your kids about this? Because I've been struggling with it because part of me keeps just trying to say everything's going to be okay. Don't worry about it. But then she asks questions. That I don't know how to answer. Like, when is she going to go back to school? I don't know, you know?
Right. Well, you do know the answer. You just said it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think, Doc, we're so busy trying to get everything in order, all our ducks in a row before, you know, anything else gets shut down. And we haven't thought about these prepared answers for kids.
Well, the reality is that you can't BS kids anyway. You have to really just stay very factually based. I think the biggest issue is in how you present the information to them. Just inform them in a non-emotional way. If you have somebody to pass the ball to, you know, a spouse or a partner that you need to, you know, pass that ball to when you really don't know the information, make sure you have a process to do that. Make sure your language is developmentally appropriate. Don't prompt them. Let them be the ones that drive the questions. And if you don't know the answer, you just say, well, you know, we don't know the answer to that right now. We're waiting to get that information. Stick to the facts. Stick to routines at home. And I know it's a little bit different now because kids are home and we're not expecting that they were going to be home at this time. But set routines. And if you have routines that you utilize when your kids are home on snow days and things like that, just stay with those routines. Make a plan for it. Take care of your own anxiety. That's a really important thing. Talk it through with someone else if you're really not sure that you're being kind of neutral in how you present that information, because kids pick up on that. It's kind of a contagion. When they know that adults are anxious, they get anxious. And reassure them, you know, reassure them that this coronavirus is a rare thing, and review safety procedures with them. We have all of these guidelines. And then keep the door open for more communication, because kids will let you know when they really need more information. Sometimes we think we have to do more for them than we actually have to do. They take in little bits of information, process it, and then they ask us for what they need later on.
Dr. Joe, I think I call it virus anxiety. And yesterday, I think I had like a full panic attack where my heart was beating and I felt like sweaty and I felt so sick to my stomach because I didn't know what to do. I knew that it was back to work today and I had to face this head on. And how do people deal with how nervous they are right now?
It's interesting that you're saying that, because I had a number of calls yesterday, even from folks in the mental health world, where suddenly they were reacting in the same way. You have to remember to stick to facts and not buy into all of the hype. You need a balanced approach to this. It's not too much optimism. It's not too much pessimism. You are always reminding yourself that you're going to consult and follow the CDC guidelines. Do all of those things that they're telling you to do. Washing your hands, not touching your face, social distancing, covering your mouth if you cough or sneeze. This social distancing concept has really gotten to people because you're starting, and when you go outside, you see that there are not many people out there.
Right.
And I think that that is really contributing to people's anxiety as well. We have to remember that there are far more people without the virus than there are with the virus.
It is jarring. I went out Friday night and it was a ghost town around, and I was thinking to myself, not only is it just weird to not see people, but the economic implications of this. Looking around, I had the distinct feeling that that restaurant would be closed after that night, that the bar that we visited would be looking at their last good night for quite a while.
People wearing the masks, being at the grocery store and people having on the plastic gloves. Now I'm wondering, do they have it and they know they have it and they're trying not to spread it, or are they just trying to protect themselves? And I was halfway through my errands of things I had to get so we could stay home, and I just went home because I couldn't do it.
Obviously, we don't know who has it. That's what the problem is. It's one of the things that causes us to exaggerate the situation because we can't see the virus. So when you're seeing people out there with the masks, you might be right. Maybe they might have it, but the reality is, in all likelihood, they don't. This all taps into that feeling of a lack of control that we have over this situation. So that kind of ramps up our anxiety as well.
And one last question somebody had asked on our Facebook page is, how do you stay sane when you're stuck at home for this long with your family?
Right. Like, I'm seeing this talk. Like, it's like I go out and maybe I'm getting the opposite. I am having conversations with people. I am seeing some people. But every time I talk to one of them, I'm wondering where they're getting their information because they sound nuts.
Right.
Nuts.
Right. Yeah, stay away from the social media, folks. I mean, that's what's really ramping this up tremendously as well. Even the news outlets are really not acting in great ways with this. They just are picking up whatever is going to give them the story, and that's a problem. When you're at home, see, this is an opportunity. This is unprecedented, uncharted territory for most of us, having to stay home from work now with our kids. The reality is that you can see this as an opportunity to slow down, to, you're going to work from home, but you can also do some crafts. You can sign up for a virtual class online, a webinar. Read. You can bake. You can cook. You can do puzzles.
I was going to say, Milton Bradley is back. Milton Bradley is back.
Board games are good things. House projects. Binge watch a series that you need to, you've been waiting to do. Also, check out your public library websites, because they have all kinds of things that you can access from home. Things that are going to give you an opportunity to really just sort of slow down. Do your home workout instead of going to the gym. Meditate. Do some yoga. Something that's going to just sort of center you.
Dr. Joe, thank you so much.
Terrific. Take care of you guys. Stay safe.
Bill the Grocer has worked at a major grocery store chain for 30 years. It's CNN Raven.
Bill, thanks for joining us this morning. We just want to get a sense of what it's like in the stores. But you're going in a little bit late this morning because you've got a cough, right? How are you?
Good. Hope I'm not getting it.
Yeah. So it's an interesting development, Anna, that I just got right here. So Bill has been working, of course, as a grocer, as a grocery manager. This has been a serious time for him. He's been pulling long hours and so forth. With that is associated stress, that type of thing. Today, do you have a cold? Is this allergies, or are you just feeling run down?
Well, I've been working a lot of overtime, obviously, trying to get things together. But dealing with all the people and not being able to keep out a 3-foot distance rule in a busy store like that just kind of wiping me out. So I got home yesterday, and I think I have that anxiety where I might be at that level. Like, yeah, I start coughing a little more. You never know.
Well, we were just talking about this off the air, Bill. It's allergy season, so I'm getting all my normal allergy symptoms.
Sniffles,
and I'm freaking out.
Runny nose.
And I won't take my allergy medicine because I don't want to hide a symptom of something else that I might be getting. It's like insanity.
Yeah,
you know?
I had a heart doctor tell me that I need to cut my caffeine in half because I'm skipping beats. But now I'm getting caffeine withdrawal, so I have a headache. So I'm am I dying?
Right.
It's really, really crazy.
Yeah, and I can only imagine being in the grocery store constantly. You're the one place people are going 100% because they need you.
Right. Well, there's a lot of anger in there, too, because when somebody walks into an aisle with not a piece of toilet paper in there and they want it so badly, some of the older ladies are crying. We actually had a woman from another store. One of my employees went to her house and brought some to her, delivered right after work to her house, got her address and took her there because she was so upset with it. You know, there's a lot of overreacting. There's a lot of things that are scary. There's lines everywhere. There's employees that are starting to dwindle out because of the fear. It's getting tougher and tougher to operate. The hours are getting lower. They're going to try and cut it down so that our night workers can work without interference from other people, because we want to isolate as many of the workers from the customers as possible to get the things on the shelf before they shop.
You know, it's not necessarily about the supply lines or the food not getting through or so forth, except for when we start dealing with truckers that get sick or shipping that gets sick. But when you have a situation where a couple people get sick at a local grocery store, like, that theoretically could end up shutting that store down for a certain amount of time. And that drives up more demand, drives up more anxiety.
Well, yes. And one by one, it's getting tighter because more and more employees are not wanting to come to work. They want to wear the mask over their face. They want to keep away from everybody. They're always wearing plastic on their hands now. But as we try to operate with all these people that want stuff, it's getting tougher and tougher to do so.
Yeah, I would imagine that goes, right? Like, you didn't sign up for that. When you got into grocery, you didn't sign up to be a frontline healthcare worker.
Right,
so
it's true.
I can understand some of that. They have the same anxieties that anybody else would, and they're dealing with so many more people.
The panic buying, I mean, that's all you keep hearing and seeing, and it's incredibly chaotic. What has been the number one thing besides toilet paper? I can't wrap my head around this toilet paper, but besides the toilet paper, what are people buying the most of?
Well, it started with the Lysol wipes, the Clorox wipes, and then it went to the baby wipes, and then towels because there was no toilet paper. Then tissue because there's no towels. And then they started on the food, and they just started hoarding on the meat and bags of rice. The biggest quantities they could get, filling carriages, cup of soups, Chef Boyardee prepped food, tuna fish, milk and eggs you can't find anywhere, orange juice, they took it all, popped the aisle, totally empty. Then there was the tomatoes. They kind of systematically went by survival. And then because there was nothing really to go for that they wanted, they started weaning down to cereal, peanut butter. They're just going with the things that they had to get because there was nothing that they wanted anymore. But little by little, more and more sections are just crumbling down to absolutely nothing.
Oh, that's terrible.
Bill, you expect trucks today at your store. You expect more product arriving on a daily basis, correct?
We do, but the amount of trucks that we would need just to start is unbelievable. And I don't even think they have a quarter of the product that we would need to get by. We're 2 days behind on deliveries. A few stores that are more of a priority with more people that are busier are getting their trucks ahead of us. So we're about 3 days out now where I personally work, and it's getting really tough. But yes, we are expecting trucks, and as soon as the trucks come, all the employees that want to come in are on call to go there and just start hustling the stuff onto the shelves and see what we can do. And we're a couple orders behind, so hopefully we can fill up a little better. The customers are there. They want to shop, but we just don't have the products to give them.
All right. Thank you so much. It's Bill the Grocer. And, you know, we want to reiterate that Bill works at a major, major grocery store chain that's probably in your neighborhood.
Exercise patience, people. The supplies are coming in. Let people do their jobs and try and be nice to your fellow man, basically, right?
Right. And another side note, shop local. A lot of these smaller markets, they are stocked, and they're willing to help you, and they need your business right now, too. I'm going to be so honest with you. Every time I cough, every time I feel a shortness of breath, which I know is just probably a semi, a little bit of a anxiety and panic attack in my chest, I start freaking out thinking, oh my gosh, what do I have it? How do I know? And the truth of the matter is a lot of people that have had it haven't really come out to talk about it.
Well, you don't really know at this point, because especially in this area, in this region of the country, temperatures going up and down, allergy season, it's just very confusing.
Right. It's Anna and Raven. And there was a nurse out in Colorado who gave an interview and she had it. Here she is talking about it.
Yes, I have coronavirus. Went to a medical conference, and on the day that we were getting ready to leave, I just kind of started having little sniffles.
That I thought was interesting, because everything we've read has said that it's not really sniffles. It's not really a runny nose. It's a dry cough.
Wait,
like,
for that
respiratory
fever.
Yeah, right, the
right,
fever.
Right.
She went on.
She got it at a medical conference. They gave them to him in the grab bags when they went home.
Can you imagine?
Here you go. Try this out.
This
Let
is
us know what
we're
you think
do.
About this.
This is what we're going to do to stop the coronavirus. But I'm probably going to give it to you right now at this final conference. She went on to say this.
We got back to Crested Butte, and my muscles ached and my joints ached really bad. It felt like somebody was like stabbing me with an ice pick.
Muscle aches. That I don't have that, so that's good.
I feel that way every day. I'm just old.
Well, right. Yeah, there's that.
It's confusing.
But there was kind of a little bit of a silver lining.
I'm feeling like just really short of breath. I get extremely exhausted, but I feel like I'm getting healthier.
A lot of people are okay. They've had it and they're okay. And that's important to remember too, that that's the vast majority is that you go through this.
You'll run the course of it.
Yeah, exactly.
It will have very, unpleasant moments and it could be difficult. Nobody likes to be sick, especially men. Men don't like to be sick.
Yeah.
It's the worst. It's twice as bad, man sick. That's what we say when we cry anyways.
I just want to say, if anyone in my house has to get it, I hope it's me, not my husband, because I can't. I can't. Like, I'm not trying to be doom and gloom, but, like, I won't be able to be okay with that if he has to, if I have to deal with him having it.
Two solid weeks.
Oh.
Two solid weeks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, the important message here is the vast majority of people are not getting severe symptoms.
Right.
And they are recovering. It does take time.
Yeah.
You can't be impatient with it, and you can't continue to push yourself if, imagine the stress and being run down from running around or trying to work too hard to compensate for other things. That will also lead to you getting sick.
The one thing
that it always will.
Every person that has had this has had in common, and they've all said it, and this is so important, is the fever. So keep your eye on for that fever. That's what we were looking for right now. Where do we stand now? What do we do? Dr. Vinay Sampath from LIU Post. She's a professor of biomedical sciences. It's Anna and Raven. And things have progressed so much over the course of the last week, and we were just kind of looking for updates. And where do you think we stand? Do you think we're moving in the right direction in fighting it? Do you think we have a long way to go? What are your thoughts on this?
I think it's a little bit of both. We have a long way to go, but I think we're moving in the right direction by asking people to self-isolate, work from home if they can, limit unnecessary travel. All colleges are going online, trying to keep, clusters of people away. Gatherings have been closed. So I think they're doing the right thing, but we still have a long way to go.
Doctor, we're hearing that it's going to get worse before it gets better, that we will see the numbers increase, but we're quickly getting up to speed, or trying to anyways, with treatments. One thing that we're finding out is that there's simply not enough tests for everybody out there, right? So unless your symptoms are extremely severe, you may not get an actual test. So what would you recommend as your best home treatments or home care for somebody who's at home, may very well have coronavirus, has not had it confirmed, there's no vaccine anyways, how should they treat this?
It would be similar to how you would treat a general flu. So you would manage the symptoms. If you have a fever, you take Motrin or Tylenol, keep hydrated, make sure you're containing yourself, sneeze into the elbows or sneeze into tissues, throw away, wash your hands very often. That's a very crucial thing, washing hands. Many people don't know how to do it very well. It is 20 seconds. All of those measures are what we can generally do to prevent the flu would be advisable for individuals in this case. One thing that I would say is individuals should watch out for respiratory symptoms, right? If they're not able to breathe very well, they should call their doctor or ER before they go into the facility themselves. So the facility has a good way of figuring out how to contain this person who's likely to be contaminated coming in. Give them a heads up. Try and stay inside, rest, as much as possible. Those are common things that you can do.
So my mother watches my children, and now that my daughter is home for a prolonged period of time because her school closed down for the coronavirus, I have the bigger concern is, my mom is just about 60, so she's very healthy. But my grandmother lives with her, and she's very elderly. And I'm worried that she's going to contract something, and she's going to bring it home to my grandmother. What do you do in the situation when you have elderly and you're a caregiver? Obviously, you're washing your hands, but are there other things you should be doing? Should we be hiring outside people to come in and help during this period where we might be carriers and we don't know because we're not showing symptoms?
As long as the elderly person is relatively healthy, you want to isolate them a little bit. You want to make sure that they are in areas that you are assured has been cleaned well, that has, especially if somebody's coming in from outside, they don't directly go give grandma a hug. Even if they're somewhat feeling sick, maintain that 3 feet distance if possible at all. Of course, routine caregivers can't do that, but, you want to try and avoid as much of the communicable disease as possible, trying to bring it to them as possible. Unfortunately, there isn't a quick way of treating this or a quick way of preventing this from happening. We are still quite a bit away from a vaccine. If it does come to that, then obviously the elderly should be vaccinated when it does become available. and probably the children too, because they will bring it in much more easily.
Gathering all the information that you need this morning and going forward, it's Anna and Raven. Joining us is Dr. Vinay Sampath. She's a professor of biomedical sciences at LAU Post.
Doctor, I know that we are all anxiously looking to the horizon for a vaccination, you know, a vaccine. I know that there are many talented people working on this across the world right now at this point. And I know that this is something we've never seen before. For a layman, just asking for myself, and I think a lot of us have no idea. I'm wondering if you have any idea. After someone has had coronavirus, gone through recovery, can they get it again? Do we have any idea? Do we know?
No, we don't know yet. Unfortunately, we'll have to wait and see. We should be getting some data from China soon. So when you get a virus and you get infected, your body tries to fight against it, right? And that's what helps you recover. There are things inside your body that are fighting against this. And these are what are called antibodies. So right now, anybody who is recovered from the disease is likely to have these antibodies in their system. But then for us to be able to be protected, say, against the next exposure, say, next year, it is a question of how good are these antibodies. Some diseases, these antibodies are really good. And for some diseases, they're not. Like for, you know, this, like, you know, you need to take the flu vaccine every year because those antibodies that we produce are not very good at doing the job. Whereas something like chickenpox is very good. Like, you know, the antibodies that are produced are really good. And you, once you get chickenpox, you won't get it again. We still don't know about this particular virus, how our body is going to respond. So we will still need a little bit of time to allow the people who are the first to recover to see how long it takes them, how long they're protected. So we do not have an idea right now.
Dr. Vinay Sampath from LIU Post. Doctor, what do you think about going to places like the gym right now? I know that's a big thing with my friends is do you go to the gym? Do you not go to the gym? And then it's like, well, they can't live. Right. It can only live for 24 hours. I don't know what to do. Are you supposed to work out or not?
Right. So then, like, you know, I hope most gyms will provide a cleaning space. So it's always a good idea. I know I always do this, right? You always clean the machine before you get on it. Yeah. And pray, try finding a machine that's far away from someone next to someone who's already there. So you can keep that distance and you can still maintain your routine. You know, and always, as always, always wipe the machine down after you're done. Wash your hands. We just need to be very aware of where our hands have been. Whenever we are done touching something, we should really be using either the sanitizer or washing our hands before we bring it close to our feet. 80% of people who do get exposed to this virus have nothing more than a mild sore throat or fatigue or fever for some time.
Right.
It's the 15% that do get severe symptoms that we do need to worry about.
Dr. Sampath, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. We really appreciate it.